Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Limited Q1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'm now glad to hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO of Shriram Transport Finance Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to everyone in India and other Asian countries. Good afternoon to people who have joined from European countries, and good morning to the investors who have joined from the US. I hope all of you have gone through the investor update that's already sent to you. I'll provide a brief overview of macroeconomic scenario and development on the ground before I share the highlights of our performance. India's GDP was reported at 5.8% for January to March quarter, significantly lower than 6.6% in the previous quarter, indicating a slowdown in the economy. This slowdown has been attributed to weak demand conditions in both domestic and external markets. However, the latest economic survey has projected GDP growth at 7% for the current fiscal, so which is higher than the previous fiscal. On the governance front, we witnessed a decisive mandate in favor of incumbent government in May 2019. This was followed by Union Budget, wherein the new finance minister outlined the vision for growth and evolution into India's $5 trillion economy. Importantly, fiscal prudence was maintained as the deficit was estimated 10 basis points lower than the interim budget at 3.3%. The biggest positive is the issues plaguing the financial sector. There was an INR 700 billion capital injection for the banking sector outlined, and also a liquidity window for leading NBFCs. The budget has provided a one-time six-month partial credit guarantee to PSU Bank for the first loss up to 10% for the purchase of highly rated pool assets of financially sound NBFCs up to INR 1 trillion. Better rated NBFC will have an advantage, and they can bargain for better rates to increase their credit enhancement facilities. In addition to these measures, RBI continued its expansionary stance as it announced another repo cut by 25 basis points in the latest monetary policy. It is the third time in a row and total 75 basis points. And banks have so far given around 15-20 basis points reduction of rate. That means there is scope for the banks to reduce further by 50-60 basis points. This may happen over the next quarter or two quarters. Monsoons were delayed across the country this year, but the rainfall across the country in the recent days, in the last week or so, points towards revival. Kharif sowing has been delayed due to late onset of monsoon, but the acreage, which was less 15 days back, has been increased, added in the last 1 week, and that gives hope that the monsoon should be normal. And apart from that, the government also has come out with some support to the farmers with the PM Kisan Farm Labor and Rural Workers Pension. We believe these measures should help the rural economy, and there should be a better consistent consumption demand arising out of it. Coming to the CV industry, overall commercial vehicle segment registered a decline of 9.53% in April to June as compared to the previous year. The M&HCV was the highest degrowth at 16.6 and LCV at 5%. We believe that it's basically due to the election process. A very long election process did dampen the demand, and the cash transactions had come down significantly during this time. Dispersal in used CV for us has been very steady. Demand has been quite good, I should say. However, we have been a little more careful or more in the new vehicle lending. New vehicle lending demand also being low, and we also been additionally more careful because of bigger ticket size and lower lower yield. We have reduced our exposure on the new vehicle lending, but the used vehicle lending continues with, however, a lower LTV. We expect the demand to pick up in the second half of the year, mainly due to the construction and infrastructure activity, which is typically come to a halt during the monsoon. We should restart by September end and October, and the festive season, which starts from September 1st week, should give booster to the demand. Additionally, the transition from BS4 to BS6 will give some demand for BS4 vehicle, because BS6 vehicles are likely to be costlier by 10 to 15%, and the customers would prefer prefer a pre-buying of BS4 vehicle to reduce the cost of acquisition of fleet. On the liquidity front, we have successfully completed several issuance despite prevailing environment of risk aversion. We have successfully diversified our liability base. We raised 48 billion through NCD public issue in the last financial year, and FX bond of 400 million in the February, US 500 million in April. Additionally, last week we completed issuance of US 250 million senior secured notes under $200 million global medium term note program. Having said this, there has been a marginal rise in cost of borrowing. This is being absorbed as our pricing power in the used vehicle is better. And since we have very niche presence in this segment, we are able to pass it on to our customers. Stronger growth demand in the rural should further help us in passing on for any further increase in borrowing cost. However, we don't really foresee any such event, mainly because we believe that banks would be able to pass on the lower cost of lower cost to the NBFC, so that we can maintain our net interest margin. Our asset quality has been stable and credit cost stabilizing. So ALM profile is very comfortable, and ALM gap is positive in all buckets. Coming to our headline numbers, our in this quarter, AUM grew by 5.77% year-on-year to 1 crore 6 lakh 343 crores against 1 crore 540 crores. Net interest income was higher by 7.62 to 1961 crores against 1822 crores. Net interest margin stood at 7.16 compared to 7.44 in the previous year same quarter. The PAT has increased by 10.71 year on year to 634 crores against 572 crores. The stage 3 NPA stood at 8.52 in the first quarter against 9.06 corresponding last year. The overall credit cost, which was around 2.2 last year, has come down to 2%, and we are confident of maintaining at 2% for the full year. The number of branches stands at 1585 numbers. That is 40 numbers added in this quarter, and total employee count stands at 27,174, which is another 500 numbers added in this quarter. We are quite happy with the performance despite economic slowdown, and I am confident we will continue to deliver consistent profitability and responsible growth even in the future. That brings end to my opening remarks. I have with me Mr. Sundar, Mr. Parag and Sanjay to answer specific questions. I would now request moderator to open the floor for the question and answer.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Utsav Gogirwar from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a few questions from my side. If you look at the demand right now, the CV sales are declining, but we continue to expand our branches and continue to add employees. What is the thought process behind that? Just because we expect second half to be stronger, or is it like a more longer term strategy plan we have?
Both are right. We believe one thing is, these branches are nothing but our existing rural centers. We are not getting into a new geography where we have already gone into and where we have been able to expand our business. There we are converting existing rural center into branches. So there is no additional cost involved in opening of branches for us. And also once we have a business and business is growing in a particular geography, we need to put people so that the collection becomes smooth. So we cannot allow the collection to deteriorate. That's one of the reasons we need to add people, because our business model is totally depends upon our relationship with customer, and therefore any improvement in the business, we need to keep adding more number of people. So this opening of branches are just conversion of rural center. It is not adding to any cost.
Clear for the total for the company as well as under new CV and used CV business. Because in this quarter we have the new CV book has declined. So just want to understand how the segmental growth will be in your view.
Yeah, see, new CV, for us, new CV is not a priority. Whatever lending we do to new CV is basically our existing customer upgrading himself. So we don't have any direct relationship with our manufacturer or to the dealer to do the new vehicle lending. So if our existing customers are not opting for buying new vehicle, then automatically our new vehicle lending comes down to that extent, and also we don't relax on our LTV or lending rate to accommodate the other customers whom a dealer may be referring. Therefore, our new vehicle lending program is totally dependent on the customer's business opportunity and his growth. And as far as used vehicle is concerned, we keep exploring new market, especially through rural centers. We keep opening rural centers, and wherever we have a scope to increase it to large numbers, there we convert that into branches.
Utsav, we are unable to hear you. We are getting. Does that answer?
Yeah, so, yeah, it answers. I will come back in.
Sure, thank you. The next question is from the line of Subrat Dwivedi from SBI Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir.
Yeah.
So I have three questions. One is on the provisioning coverage. So any reason why that has fallen slightly?
Last year we had made an ad hoc provision on account of the Tamil Nadu floods and the Kerala floods. Now, after 1 year, we feel that it is no longer required and the same has been reversed.
Okay, so we can expect these kind of levels, PCR levels, to continue for the year?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. So my second question is on the liability mix. So in Q1 FY20, the term loan shares seems to have gone down significantly as compared to last year, whereas the proportion of bond more or less remains the same. This is a bit surprising because your bond market raising would have been quite muted, whereas banks would have given loans. So what is the reason?
As mentioned in the opening comment, we did a dollar bond placement, which was for $500 million, a significant quantum raise. So that is the reason why the bond has remained constant. We also did large securitization, and securitization being priority sector assets do come at lower cost to us, and that is the reason why bank borrowing has not been done, and that has come down. But this bond placement, which was overseas fundraising and securitization, this took care of our requirements for the quarter.
So the dollar bond is classified under bonds only, not in borrowings in foreign currency.
Okay. So that foreign currency bonds are appearing separately in the
9.9%.
Foreign currency bonds are appearing separately in the classification.
Right, sir. So my question is ki that is already getting captured in that 9.99%. Despite that, the proportion of bonds has not changed materially. So that
because normally what we borrow will be 3-year bond. It will not come down.
Okay. Okay. So in last 1 year, how much bonds, INR bonds would have been issued fresh?
I don't have the numbers offhand, but it will be whatever was there as of March, I think that has been maintained.
Okay. Okay. And what is the hedged cost of the foreign currency $500 million that you raised, average?
It depends upon the swap cost and all. So we do this swap transactions with various banks.
Mm-hmm.
So it will not be a fixed number when it comes to doing partial transactions with several banks. But overall, it comes to around 10% with the landed cost to us.
Okay, okay. Okay, sir, that's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kulkarni from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to know one thing, two questions I had. One is that on slide number 4, the off-book, that is direct assignment portfolio, has reduced by 10% in this quarter. And the securitized assets have increased by 15%. I wanted to know the reason for that. And secondly, what percentage of your workforce would be in collections? Thank you.
The decrease in the books portfolio is mainly on account of repayments, and there has been no fresh additions in the current quarter. And the increase in securitized assets is primarily on account of fresh additions during the quarter.
Employees. You see, new addition will be mostly into field force only. We don't add much into the back office.
So just want to know what percentage of that is in collections of your total employees of 27,000?
No, see, the entire 16,700 people who are in the field, they do both lending and collection. We don't have separate team for collection.
Okay. Thank you. And sir, with respect to my first question, so you're saying you've not done any new direct assignment from banks, is it? I mean, you've not done any new direct assignments in this quarter.
Yeah, we are not done. We are not done in the current quarter.
Okay. So any particular reason? Because I thought direct assignments would have been higher. Just a basic question, sorry.
Remuneration we have done. Direct assignment demand normally comes from public sector bank, which we have not done. So nothing, no transaction with public sector bank in this quarter.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So three questions from my side. First, on the LTV, how much would it have reduced in the new and the UCV, and what are those levels currently?
See, LTV we reduced in October, and that has remained till now. 5% each LTV we reduced in new and used both. And in some product, it was reduced to by 10%. So that is continuing. We have not changed our LTV norms. We felt that till the we get a good news on good monsoon, we should not change it.
Okay. And sir, what will be these levels in the new CV and new UCV?
New, it will be 80%, and used, it will be 65%.
Okay, so 70 would have come to 65, and then in new 90 would have come, 85 would have come down to 80.
Yeah, yeah. New, actually what happens is in many of the vehicles there will be additional expenses on building body and all. So on average it is 80%. If you include the bodybuilding expenses and all, it will be 70%.
Yeah. Okay. And sir, on this working capital loans in your AUM, that's like growing at 52%. It's obviously of a low base. But what kind of checks? I mean, this looks like a slightly unsecured loan, to speak. I know it's to your existing customer, but what kind of checks you are keeping there to make sure that the underwriting here is decent?
No, you see, Q&Q, there is not much of growth. It is year on year only there's a growth. What happened is, in the second half of last year, we started with the fuel credit. We have tied up with HPCL and now with the BPCL both. And this fuel credit has been the new product. So we have been adding new product in the working capital. And basically it is a small increase in the exposure with the existing customer. So actually it is nothing but secured only, because instead of giving a separate line giving credit on the same account, we are giving additional credit as working capital. So maybe additional 5% he can use it as fuel credit. Similarly, we do fund the insurance requirement. If he is buying insurance, either for life or general, both we give funding to him. Working capital constitutes only these tire, fuel, and insurance. And all are little added on to his existing loan. So we are not calling it as a top-up loan on the same asset. We are classifying it as a working capital. So it is unsecured, but definitely it is covered by the existing asset.
And the cap is 5% of the...
tentatively, 5 to 10% depends upon the number of product the customer is using.
Okay. And sir, lastly, on your stage 3 provision and your stage 1 and stage 2, so your stage 3 provisions have come off from, let's say, 34% to 32%, and your stage 1 and 2 has gone up from 2.75 to 2.9. So ideally, one would have assumed with lower resale values, your stage 3 covers should have gone up, but they seem to be coming off. Why should that happen? And what? And in stage 1 and 2, are there just higher stage 2 assets which are basically impacting this? Or
See, the stage 1 and 2, due to the shift of buckets from stage 1 to stage 2, has contributed to higher requirement of provisioning. And stage 3 is more or less stable, right?
No.
34.5 to 31.2.
Because of the
That is primarily because of the coverage which we had released on account of the provisions on account of the Tamil Nadu and Kerala floods, which we had made last year.
Okay, so from here on, you expect this 32% not to sustain then?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Debrewal from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I had just two very quick questions.
Abhijit, you are not audible.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just two very quick questions. So how do we plan to maintain our NIMs, given that our cost of borrowings have gone up, and also we have said that we plan to maintain about 6,500 odd crores, about 2 months of disbursements on our balance sheet for the rest of the financial year. So, I mean, how do we plan to maintain our NIMs?
How do we maintain?
Our NIMs.
NIMs has come off in the compared to last year. But if you see quarter on quarter, it is almost nearby, only 6 basis points less. And keeping cash on the balance sheet is something which board wanted us to be, because of the liquidity situation, wanted to maintain us higher cash on the balance sheet. So we would be maintaining 2 months disbursal as the additional cash on the balance sheet. And increase in borrowing cost, we feel that it will come off because the banks have had to act on the repo rate reduction. So we believe there is a scope for banks to reduce around 50-60 basis points over the next 2 quarters. That should help us, and we believe that there is some scope for us if there is a bank reduces the lending cost to improve our net interest margin. But that depends upon the banks acting on the repo rate cut.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And so the other question that I had is if you can give some qualitative comments on, I mean, if I look at the split of our AUM between rural and urban, the urban AUM has kind of broadly remained the same. I mean, about 3% kind of a year-over-year growth, while rural continues to see a very good growth. Some qualitative colors in terms of rural and urban?
No. No, basically, we have been expanding our focusing on rural. Therefore, there is more increase you see in the rural, and also there was some...
Certain rural branches which are attached to urban centers, because of the conversion of those rural centers as independent full-fledged branches, those portfolio have been reclassified under rural instead of the urban. That was one of the reasons for the shift in that.
Right, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Singhal from DK Partners. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, and congratulations on a good quarter and versus your peers who have suffered a lot, it seems. I had a question on the CV cycle. It seems that the new CV cycle is in a downturn for a while. Can you just help us understand how the dynamics of the used CV cycle to which you are exposed generally differs versus the new CV cycle? And maybe if you can tie that in terms of the slippages that you have seen historically, when did they peak and what has been the trend recently in terms of new slippages? Thank you.
Generally, the used vehicle transactions, buying, selling, continues to happen in spite of the new vehicle sales coming down. It is not, does not have a big bearing. But what happens is, if there is good demand for new vehicle, then typically people sell their existing vehicle little earlier than the normal time. That is, if you are waiting for 4 years to sell your existing vehicle, if there is a good time, if the economy is good and if there is a good demand for new vehicle, people try to sell their existing vehicle at the end of 3 years rather than 4 years. And if the economy is slowing down and they don't want to buy a new vehicle, they may keep the vehicle for 5 years. So, like that, it may change depending upon the economic activity. But the used vehicle transaction, by and large, keeps happening in the overall economy, rural or urban. And the demand for used vehicle is little more in the rural market than in the urban, because typically vehicle move from urban and semi-urban market to rural over the period. As the vehicle becomes older, which runs lesser kilometer, it goes into semi-urban and rural market. So typically the vehicle do shorter distance traveling, the used vehicle, and the new vehicle normally cover the longer distance. That's how the overall market plays. And the way we look at is, since we are able to create more reach in used vehicle, we are still able to grow in used vehicle. Even though transactions would have come down or slowed down a little, still we are able to get a market share. And even otherwise, overall market, if you look at, our market share is between 25% to 30% only in the used vehicle. Still, there is enough scope to increase your volume by going into deeper pockets, which we still are getting into. So we believe there is still a good opportunity to grow in used. But as far as new, is totally dependent on the economic activity plus the infrastructure building activity. If the infrastructure mining, which normally requires a new vehicle and large ton vehicle, if this activity go on very aggressively, then the new vehicle demand goes up.
Got it. So just a couple of more questions. So when I look at slide 6 of your presentation, on a year-on-year basis, your branches have increased almost 29%, but your AUM has been has increased about 6%. So just have two questions on this. One is, typically, what's your strategy in terms of how much growth do you want in terms of opening new branches, and how should we think about your growth? Is it more in terms of geography where you're under-penetrated in certain regions and you want to open more branches there, or is there some other way of looking at it? So that's one. And second is, how should I think about this 29% growth in your branches but only 6% growth in your AUM?
Yeah, the branches, increase in branches are for two reasons. One is, where in the rural market, where we have opened rural center 3 years back, if they have reached a particular level of size, then we have to convert that into branch for a closer supervision, and it helps in the collection. So these conversions from the rural center into branches become necessary once that they reach particular scale. And second, what we have done is, in some urban centers, we have converted these urban center where we have large branch into satellite branch. Of course, the satellite branch has nothing but full-fledged branch only. So unwieldy large branches, we have further split into small number of small branches. So number of branches has gone up, but number of managers who are looking into it were already in existing, already in the system. So we have not really added people at manager level. So it is only splitting of existing branches into nearby location, so that it can be managed much better. So the number of branches added need not be directly proportional to the AUM growth. It is the ability to supervise and manage that becomes more important for us.
Got it. So just one last question from me. Just looking at, it's a very basic question, so apologies for this, but when I look at your breakdown of your Schedule 21 on your annual report, which breaks down your provision and write-off in your P&L. So you have one, let's say for FY18, you have one component of the P&L provision and write-off, which is a bad debt written off. So for example, in FY18, your total provision and write-off in P&L was 3122 crore, of which 14...
Can we take this question offline?
Sure, that's okay.
Huh? Yeah, thanks.
I can catch up with you offline.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Shah from White Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have three questions. First, can you please share the structure of partnership that we have with private financiers?
This is a very old program. We have been running for last 10 years. We identified a few of the local financiers who have been doing well and where we do not have a reach, and also the asset classes which we are not funding directly, especially three-wheelers and taxis. So these are the customers, financiers, who are having a good track record, whom we are lending, and as per the program, our credit program, they lend onwards, and they take the responsibility of the collection. So there is a revenue sharing arrangement with these people, and the size of total size is just below 2% of the total AUM.
Okay. So next question is on, can you please share the proportion of stage 2 assets in the total exposure that you have shared of stage 1 and stage 2 as of June 19th? Basically, I want to know the amount of stage 2 assets as of June
19. Yeah. Stage 2 assets as on June 19 is 23,560 crores. And stage 1 is 72,328.
Okay, thanks. And last question is on, what is the yield on, incremental yield on advances during the quarter and incremental cost of funds?
Yield
on advance, incremental?
On the advances.
Yield is around 16%.
Okay, and continuing with the stage 2 assets has seen significant increase in what you can say as compared to March 19 number. Can you just throw some light on that?
No, see, basically, the last quarter, because of the election in India, there were some challenges in cash-oriented or cash-related businesses, because cash carrying was banned by the election commissioner. So, therefore, the collection was a little slower during the election period, but it has picked up in the June. But there was still some postponement, which in this quarter we should be able to set right, collect and set right.
Okay. And can you please share the same number last quarter, June 18? Stage 2 assets?
I don't have it right now. You can touch base with Sanjay Mundra and take it.
Sorry, pardon?
You can contact Mr. Sanjay Mundra offline and collect it.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hemant Sultania from CRISIL. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Two questions from my side. Firstly, sir, with respect to the disbursements, what will be the number for the quarter?
The new vehicle is 891 crores.
Mm-hmm.
Used vehicle is 11,260 crores. And others loan and business are 145 crores, making it total 12,296 crores.
And so second question, sir, with respect to passenger vehicles, what we've been seeing over the quarters is that the proportion of PVs in overall AUM has been coming down. Any specific reason for the same?
Passenger vehicle, see, passenger vehicle, you mean, I did not get you fully. Yeah, yeah. See, the demand for LCVs, light commercial vehicle, have been relatively robust. But passenger vehicle has, as a proportion, it may look less because others have grown faster. But the demand is reasonably good. But the urban demand is slowing down. Urban demand for transportation, because we normally finance only the taxis and passenger transportation vehicle. In urban, the demand is a little lower, but in the rural area, demand has been quite good.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Kokirwar from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Can you just tell me how much bank borrowings and NCD borrowings for the quarter?
Securitization is the largest resource what we have tapped, which is 5,700 crores. And as mentioned, that we did a dollar bond, which was close to around 3,400 crores. And bank borrowings were not very significant. It was not very significant amount.
And NCDs, that too negligible?
That also was not very significant. Yeah.
Okay. And you mentioned that the incremental cost of fund is 9.5%. And the landed cost for foreign borrowings is around 10%. So securitization is the balancing. Is that correct way to look at it?
Yeah, securitization comes because it's a priority sector asset, comes at lower cost to us.
Okay, and how much that could be?
It varies from anywhere from 8.5 to 9.5.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhu Chandade from MC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My question is very simple. Last time you had given a guidance on the overall AUM growth. Given that we have started the year with a 5.8% and you're talking about a revival in the second half, do you stick to similar numbers or you are revising it a bit? Hello?
Yeah. See, overall AUM growth for the year, as it is stand now, the way things are moving, we expect it to be between 14 to 16%.
Okay, you're expecting FY20 to be 14 to 16%. And, what are the kind of lead indicators that you're looking at for this to happen and why this might not happen?
The two lead indicators which we expect is a reasonably good monsoon, normal monsoon. And the second one is the BS4 demand, because the BS6 vehicles are likely to be costlier. And we expect there will be pre-buying demand for the BS4 vehicle. That will create more transactions on new vehicle and used vehicle both. And there also will be some re-rating of used vehicle because of the new vehicle price being higher. So these are the factors we are looking into. And if at all the monsoon is weak, and because of monsoon being weak, economy being slow, and people do not respond to by pre-buying the BS4 vehicle, then the growth rate could be lower.
Okay. The second related question, which you partially answered, is like there is already a bit of a sluggishness, in fact, significant sluggishness in the new vehicle market. In light of this, do you think that the expected pickup of BS4 will actually happen because of the transition to BS6?
I still feel it will happen because many of the customers whom we know, they felt that if at all vehicle cost is going up by 10 to 15%, it is better to buy 6 months earlier, 6 months to 7 months earlier, rather than buying a costly vehicle after March, after April 1st. So that is the what most of the customers have been indicating. But it all depends upon the sentiments when, because if there is a lot of dampening event which forces people to postpone their decision, then people may postpone their decision. So that also can happen. So we have to wait and see. Generally, if you go by the way Indian seasons work, the post-monsoon and the festive period is the time when people start buying new things or new vehicles or even consumption going up. So we have to really wait and see September to November time. These are three most crucial months where most of the consumption pattern of India gets decided. And that last, that demand and that enthusiasm will last for more than 7-8 months subsequently. So we have to just wait and see till this quarter ends to see the momentum.
Okay. And one last question. You obviously would have seen a loss of momentum in the market in general. So if you can highlight between rural and urban, where has the loss been more pronounced in recent times, in the last couple of months?
See, if you, by and large, if you look at rural, rural is now reasonably active, and the demand from the rural area, unlike in the past, is spread across the country. So, except for a few locations, that central India where there was a drought last year, the demand from the rural market has been reasonably steady. And as far as the urban market is concerned, urban market is largely dependent on the overall economic activity of the way the export activity or the industrial activity is growing, and that is subdued for last 1 year. So I see a lesser demand from the urban market as of now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishan Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi. Question based on one of the replies that you gave earlier. You mentioned that some of the AUM has been reclassified based on some branches, some asset centers being now called the branches. So the proportionate rural AUM, the AUM has been moved from urban to rural. So could you just qualitatively comment on, like, you know, what kind of rural and urban demand are you seeing? And probably if you can just quantify, you know, the growth excluding this kind of reclassification impact in both the geographies.
For us, the rural demand has been higher than the urban demand, maybe because we are creating a more reach. So it's only the additional reach is getting us the additional growth. So the whatever growth we are getting in the rural, because in urban we have already grown, there's no further scope to grow. In the rural, we are adding more numbers. So automatically, the fresh businesses will be mostly from the rural market.
Okay. And one more similar question. So when you say you've converted your asset center into a branch, what does that entail? Like, do you necessarily move to a bigger location, like hire more employees? How do the costs move up? Like, could you just throw some light on that?
See, rural center converting into branches is typically if you have 500 customers in that particular location, we convert that into branches. So that is the thumb rule for converting into branches. So as we have 500 customers, we would have already added around 4 people there working in that location. Only thing is we'll be having a manager there, because the manager in the branch who is responsible for handling the rural center, especially credit decisions, so that will be split into the new branch. So the new branch manager would come. So typically one among the 4 who have done the best performance would become the branch manager, senior most. and maybe the additional cost would be a branch premises, because the rural center would have run from a small center where we would be paying around 5,000 rupees rent, 5 to 6,000. That will go up to around 25,000 rupees or 20 to 25,000 rent. Other than that, there will be initial furnishing cost of around 5 lakh rupees. Beyond that, there is no additional cost.
Okay, perfect. That sums it up quite well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anusha Badwar from IDBI Federal Life. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to ask, if there is a scenario of slowing economic growth, will there be any impact on asset quality, or will that be maintained at around 8.5 to 9%?
We are quite confident of maintaining at this level because as of now, if you look at the first quarter, there was a little slowdown because of election process, and we have managed it quite well at 8.5. And we should be able to maintain at 8.5, and if economy improves, it can further improve.
Okay, and you have recently you have diversified your borrowings in terms of ECB, and now you're also tapping the retail entities. But going forward, is there any kind of borrowing mix that you have in mind? Like what percentage you'll be taking from bonds, from term loans, and from other avenues?
See, there will be some increase in the retail. We are definitely looking at increasing the retail and probably some increase in the ECB and securitization. So the bank and institution, which was around 70% earlier together, that will come down, and probably bank and institution and others will become 50-50.
Okay. And lastly, sir, I've been like following your other conference or transcripts. So there was some news of this merger that's going to happen. So is there any update on that, or that's still in under process?
Yeah, there's no further update. It is still at the discussion stage.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Good evening. On the costs, the growth for the quarter looks really low, 3%. So I guess part of this will be just lower variable payouts to employees. But is there any other factor at play or any one-offs in the base?
Sundar, cost, any increase in cost has been low. The cost.
Can I just repeat the question?
So why has the increase in cost been low? And is there an outlook for the full year?
It is in line with the growth per se, and it will continue to be in the same percentage growth going forward also.
You think 3% type growth for the full year?
Maybe around 6 to 7% will be the growth for the full year.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you. You
are.
As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar for closing comments.
Thank you. As I said in the opening remarks, we are quite satisfied with the way things panned out in the first quarter, mainly due to a very long election process this time. We had a little apprehension, but it has June month has been quite good for us, both in collection and disbursement, and this gives us confidence that this quarter will be relatively better, and good monsoon should definitely give us a very good indicator of the growth, and we strongly believe that festive demand will create further increase in demand and improved asset quality. So next time probably when we meet, we should be able to talk about improved numbers and better asset quality. And, of course, it depends on good monsoon and the festive demand. But I'm quite confident and optimistic that things will become much better. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.